He asked if we could turn the chairs around backwards so we didn't have to look at him. Testimony with us tonight, just a little glimpse of her story. So I've got some questions that I'm going to ask her. Ready? Yes, you got it. All right, I'm ready. Let's go. What's your favorite verse?
Oh, we'll start there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, there's a couple. So, you know, when we go through different stages in our life, different things mean different things. So I'll start with Psalms 91:1.
Yeah.
He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, and one that I love is Proverbs 22:6 that I'm clinging to right now for my boys. That says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And the one that they didn't really like when we were homeschoolers and Daddy was the principal is Proverbs 22:15 that says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive him far from them. Okay, anyway. And then there's Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I'm getting to my favorite one in a minute, y'all. I'm still I said one. I homeschooled, but we weren't. I wasn't the master painter. Okay. And there's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become true. New. Yeah, I read that. When I read that for the first time, it was in the middle of the night, probably 3 in the morning, and I could have had a hallelujah party in the house. Okay. And then there's Galatians 2:20. I'm almost there. Almost there. For I have been crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
All right.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me in the life. See, that was something I meant to say. My knees are going to knock, my hands are going to shake, my lips are going to... Okay. I've got to say Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you. Okay. And then, okay, the one that I was after, the one you were asking for, is the one that's so pertinent to my life right now, which is 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in his presence. Because I'm all those things, foolish, weak, low, despised, and there's nothing about me that I can justify in pride. That it's not about me, it's all about the Lord, and whatever he wants to do, he can. Okay. There.
Are you done?
Yes. Are you sure? Until you ask the next question.
Okay, so tell us something that we don't know about you.
Just one thing.
Well, we don't have all night.
I'm sorry. One thing I love is long walks on the beach. Okay, catching the sunrise, picking up shark's teeth. I like board games. I like riding bikes. I like corny dad jokes. I like shooting pool darts and guns. I love spending time with my family, and I really, really, really love my grandchildren. Okay, there you go. Okay. Long run-on sentence.
So how long have you been at First Fruits? your family.
Okay, this is a long
this
answer.
Is, yeah.
Okay. Okay, to be fair, I need to give you a little bit of history and catch you up. Mark and I met in the hot, hot summer of 1982, and girl, it was awesome. But let me tell y'all, the Lord used him to rescue me from things that people don't talk about, and the Lord used me to rescue him from things people do talk about. And whether we're willing to admit it or not, that's the way it works a lot of the time. So I'm just going to give you the highlighted version of 38 years. In fleeting time. Listen, they say time flies if you're having fun, but it flies when you're not. We married, had three amazing kids. We homeschooled and worked full-time jobs. We were in church every time the doors opened. And at church, Mark and I did bus ministry, and we taught Royal Rangers. And my kids went through all the programs, from nursery to children's church to youth group to adult ministry, and then into training. And my kids served with us, following us through the doors, served at every capacity. I would not do justice to my family if I didn't take a minute to talk about Mark. He was cantankerous. Strong, adventurous, passionate. He loved Jesus and his family. And in his eyes, we were his everything. And in my eyes, he wore an S on the chest that he wore better than Superman. He was the heavy and I was the cooler. We were polar opposites. And if you know anything about magnets, opposites attract, and we were stuck together like glue. He was my best friend and my biggest fan. He had my back. He loved me on my worst days, and I still miss his beautiful green eyes, and I'm confident I'll miss him too for the rest of my life. But no, it wasn't a cakewalk. Sometimes we didn't like each other. We had hard times. We fought about stupid things, and Buddy was elusive, still is. I'd be lying if I said we never thought about throwing in the towel. But what carried us and made us better was that we both individually had Jesus in the throne room of our hearts, and he was in the throne room of our marriage. And we chose Jesus and each other every day. So, married people, that's the best advice I can give you. Okay.
That's good.
Oh, okay. There's more. Okay, so skipping through to December 2020, he and I both tested positive for COVID. Mark got a positive result on his 61st birthday, December 15th. And on Christmas Eve, I talked him into going to the hospital, and followed ambulance lights and sirens to the hospital. And on Christmas, he was in isolation in an IC unit, and the next day they intubated him on our 33rd anniversary. And he coded four times and then opened his beautiful green eyes in glory on New Year's Eve. My family and I were together in the waiting room, and we cried together because we never got to say goodbye. While he was sick, I prayed hard and I worshiped hard, fully believing Mark was coming home to me. I never doubted for a minute that my Superman wouldn't come home. One night, hours into the night, I worshiped to the Hillsong version of It Is Well on repeat. Then the day Mark died, losing him, of all things, was not well with my soul. I had a hard time being around people or going to church. I never saw myself being a widow, which is such an ugly word, by the way. We planned to go at the same time because neither of us could imagine breathing air without each other. In 2021, there are events and provisions in my life that were undeniably the hand of God, things I could not, absolutely would have not chosen to do, or things that I couldn't do or make happen on my own. Mark's memorial service was paid for by his boss. Our truck was paid off. My son was able to buy a little house in San Mateo before it hit the market and before interest rates went crazy. And my transportation team created a GoFundMe account that covered my bills through my extended bereavement. Then, shortly after returning to work, I suffered a traumatic brain injury that required an emergency life-saving craniotomy. Just 2 weeks before my daughter's wedding, however, I made a miraculous recovery, people. And I was able to write and read my own speech to them and dance at her wedding. Then August of 22, going on to 22, my grandson was born a month early. And on day 19, he was on 4 machines and 18 medications. Wolfson doctors told Randy there was nothing else that they could do, and their only hope for him was that he'd go to Philadelphia to have a total lung transplant. But the tide shifted. John and Randy packed their bags to go, and as they were preparing to leave, God stepped in the room. And each day, he improved a little by little. One day at a time, machines were disconnected and medicines were disconnected. 20 days later, I was able to hold my sweet grandbaby for the first time. And he looked at me and smiled. Then, on that same day, as I was traveling home from the hospital on I-95 on wet roads, I was involved in a horrific accident. Y'all, I couldn't make this up. Okay. When my truck hydroplaned, it went over a guardrail, and I tumbled several times, I don't know how many, down an embankment. And if you saw my truck when the crane was pulling it back up over the guardrail, you would certainly think that the person that was driving did not survive. However, I am here to say, I climbed out on my own with cuts and bruises. Okay. And I can't leave out the fact that my grandson, Tripp, is perfectly healthy and a beautiful little toddler tornado. Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah, I did that.
You did good.
Okay. Holding together, y'all.
So tell us, how did you wind up at First Roots?
It's a good story. Even all these miracles happened right before my eyes, I was still grief-stricken. Some days I still am. My emotions were all over the place. My focus was non-existent, and I felt afraid and fragile. Our family had been through so much, and events were spinning out of control right in front of me. The only thing that got me through it was my Audible Bible app. You know, if you think about if something happens, the reels just play in your mind over and over. You'll think the same thought over and over and over, and I would literally do that on my own. And the only thing that stopped it was I played my Audible Bible all night long. So if I woke up or when I woke up during the night, I would hear it for a little bit and then drift back off to sleep. Mm. I still listen to that every night. Mm. I don't want my mind going anywhere else except on the Word. Then I saw a Facebook post that a pastor friend of mine opened a counseling ministry. When I reached out, he told me someone sponsored a counseling session for anyone who may need it. So we set up an appointment. Through the Word and prayer and wise counsel, he helped me regain my footing. After a few sessions, he started talking to me about getting back in church. I told him I felt awkward and alone and it wasn't working for me. He said it was okay to slip in late and leave early, if that was easier, and I replied, I'm good. Then he said, maybe if you're interested, I know of a little church with salt of the earth people where his best friend was a pastor, and I told him I'd think about it.
Stop right there.
Yes.
So what she's talking about in the beginning is with Pastor Daniel. So Pastor Daniel had just started his counseling ministry.
Just started.
Like literally just started. And Brian and I wanted to plant a seed in his ministry. And so we gave him the money and told him that whoever the next person is that comes in and needs to be seen, like, we want to pay for them. Had no idea. Like, literally no idea. Yeah.
Well, so when that week I said I would think about it, someone messaged my son on Facebook and said, "Hey there, I know this is random. I saw your name pop up on a question on the Old Plain Plantation Facebook page where they live. Was your dad by chance Mark McKee?" And my son said, "Yes, ma'am, he was." Then she said, "Oh, we loved your dad so much. He was on the surf team with my husband and I at church for a while. We're so thankful to have the opportunity to get to know him. He is truly someone we will never forget." Then Josh said, "That's awesome and a blessing to hear. Daddy truly loved serving and he loved people. Thank you so much for reaching out." That happened
the same time.
Same.
I mean, like, literally within what, days of
each
other?
Yes.
So Mark, years ago, Mark was on the build team with Brian at a previous church, and that's how we knew him, but we did not know Miss Evelyn at the time. Like, I saw her, and I think Brian did too, her and her mom, and who did we figure out? Was it Corey or Josh?
Josh.
Were coming in, so I saw the faces, and I knew who she was, but I didn't know her like I did Mark.
Anyway, Joshua was so moved, he couldn't wait to get me on the phone. When I met with Daniel the following week, I was seeing him every week at that time. I shared the story, and he told me this person and her husband were the ones who paid for my first counseling session. And they served at the small church he was telling me. After that, I honestly couldn't wait till Sunday. I wasn't even here yet, and I already felt at home.
Keep in mind, like, we had, Brian and I had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm. They didn't know.
No idea.
Wow.
I remember the first Sunday, I tried to slip in. You can't slip in first fruits, just so you know.
I know.
What happened, you ask? Sister Shannon came up and introduced herself.
And you left one part.
Okay.
You messaged the first fruits page, page, and asked what time service was.
Oh.
You thought it was Cody that was answering.
I had no idea.
But it was me. So I knew you were coming.
It's still fine. Okay. So now continue your story. Oh, gosh. Okay. So she came back and introduced herself, and I told her that I had been seeing Daniel, and he suggested that I visit, which she knew. I didn't know she knew, but okay. Then what happened? Sister Sharon grabbed me and drove me all the way up to the front row. And then what happened? Brother Bart saying, "It is well."
Yes.
Yeah, more.
Coincidence?
I think not.
I don't think so. God, in that moment, all the struggles I've been through, God orchestrated my moment of surrender. 3 years of struggling and not being well, I finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm undone, but you've already covered it all for me." Yes. And with all that is within me, it is well with my soul.
Yes. Yes.
Did you know that, Brother Bart? After church, Shannon came back and told me she believed that she and Brian sponsored the session with Daniel, and she was glad I'm there. Yes, go ahead.
So when you told me that, before service started, you told me, you know, I've been counseling with Pastor Daniel or whatever. No, you didn't. You didn't tell me that. You said you'd been counseling, but you didn't tell me who it was with.
Okay.
So that particular Sunday, if you don't know, Brian does not sit with me because he's doing sound. Well, this particular Sunday, he was sitting with me. And we got done with worship, and we sat down, and it hit me. And I did Brian's knee like this, and I said, "She's the one."
Oh,
And he's like, what? And I said, she's the one we've been paying for. We paid for it. We paid for her service. And I lost it at this point. Like, I started boo-hooing.
She come back there and we just cried.
we just hugged and cried. Anyway, it was a really beautiful moment. And when I went back to see Daniel, we knew that we were witnessing a beautiful move of God.
Yes, yes.
And I've been on the front row ever since. The Bible teaching here is like no other.
Amen.
And I love our First Fruit family. We know what it means to be a family. We get in each other's lives.
Yes.
We bear each other's burdens.
Yes.
And we're there like the body of Christ is supposed to be.
So if you could give a piece of advice to these ladies, what would it be?
Girls, I watched all of you walk in tonight, and I have been thinking and praying for you since Sister Shannon and I first talked about me doing this. I have cried so much writing this. This is probably like the craziest, most important thing I've ever written, put into words on paper. And I have prayed for you. So it's not by coincidence you're here. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in coincidence and karma and all those things. I believe you're here by God's design. I believe that everything we said is by God's design. I believe you're here. We've been through a beautiful worship service. Your heart is open. And the Lord is willing to use you and do things in your life that only he can do if you'll let him. This is all by God's design. I believe without a doubt he's orchestrated the whole thing, from the songs that we sung, from the things, the words and the songs that moved our hearts. So whoever it is that needs to hear this word right now, he cares for you and he loves you like nobody. Like nobody else can, like no other. There's no place too dark or too far that he can't pull you out of.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing too hard for God.
Mm-hmm.
My story is real. Everything I read sounds like something somebody made
mm-hmm.
up. But it's all real. And my story and your story is history. Or his story, if you'll let it be.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, I'm walking by faith and I trust his plan and purpose in spite of myself. My shortcomings, my imperfections. That's so that I don't receive any glory. I don't want any. I want it all to be his. It's very relevant for my life right now. So if you hear anything, let this be your takeaway. God is good, and he is for you. When all those things were happening, I felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling, and I couldn't even fathom that he was for me. But when I look back and I can write down all the things that I've been through and God has moved on my behalf financially, physically, miracle healings, things that he's done in my life, we all have those histories. We all have that history if we allow it to be. It's important to look for God's hand even in life's chaos. It's important to trust him and to know he walks with us and moves on our behalf even though we may not see it or feel it at the time. It is also important to be willing to speak, to pray, to have compassion, to reach beyond ourselves with love that will make a difference in someone else's life, even in the midst of our own struggles. God uses us when we're willing vessels to be used when he prompts.
Yes, yes.
You never know how God is going to use your obedience to be someone else's miracle. My husband's service was paid for by human hands.
Mm-hmm.
My truck was paid off by human hands.
Mm-hmm.
My GoFundMe account that my transportation team supported was by people who were prompted to
make sure I was taken care of through those times. That was, but, and it was all human hands, but it was a God move. So you never know how God is going to use your obedience to be someone else's miracle, to save souls, to break generational curses in your life as well as theirs. Even though it may all seem insignificant, it is, unless you put it in the hands of the Almighty God and it's used for His glory.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
So just like we did tonight, if there's anybody that, you know, if you have a testimony you want to share, something, anything you want to share, we're going to try to do this every 3 months, like once a quarter. And this is not a me thing or a single person for this Adelphi group. I want you guys to feel like you have ownership in it. It's not one person. It's all of us. So if there's, if you have ideas, if there's something you want to see done, if you want to speak about something, please let us know.
So I wanted to close in prayer. And ladies, if there's anything in your life that you feel like we need to pray about, we can. If you don't know the Lord and need to, we can talk about that, pray about that too. The most important thing is that we're all ready for heaven. If you are in a place where you feel like you're unseen and insignificant and what you do doesn't matter, it's not true. The Lord loves you. If you feel like what you're going through is too hard and the Lord can't fix it, it's not true. He can. I can tell you, He can. Now, He's the one that chooses, but we got to put it in His hands and know that He's working on our behalf. And He is a good God, and He is for us, okay? And it's not just about us, but it's about everybody that we're, that looks at us and sees our lives, and everybody that we minister to along the way. If you want to stop and pray about anything afterwards, you can see us and we can pray, but I just wanted to go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, we just love you and praise you tonight. I lift up everybody in this room. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in each one of us. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. Lord God, every hurt, every trial, every pain, everything going on in our lives, financial, physical, whatever's going on in every person's life here, each one of us matter to you. You care about each one of us, and you love us with a love that we'll never understand to the extent that you do. Lord, I lift up these ladies to you. I pray that you would minister to each one of them. Touch their minds, Lord, and direct their attention fully upon you. Touch their hearts, Lord, and give them a burning desire for your word and for your ways and to follow you with all their life. Lord, I pray that you would filter their tongues, that they would speak your words, and they would speak life and truth into their lives and their situations, and they would stand on your word and believe it. Lord God, and I pray that you would send people into their lives that can speak into them, as well as sending people into their lives that they can minister to. And I pray that you would use each one, Lord God, and they would desire to be your vessel. Pour into them, Lord God, that they may pour into others, that we'd all and they would come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all are making an awkward time.